is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
London, Paris, Berlin. Protests, marches, demonstrations in support of Hamas and the killers of Hamas in some fashion. Who was attending and what is to be done is part of the story of those very important European powers. However, behind that, I welcome Joseph Sternberg of the Wall Street Journal because he's written a column about how the right of center parties in those constituencies and the left of center parties in those constituencies are responding to these large protests in their capital cities. Joe is a political columnist. He writes political economics based in London. Joe, a very good evening to you. Your column is filled with irony. Marie Le Pen, for example, inheriting a party that was identified with her father entirely as anti-Semitic, she has marched to a different drummer. Does this surprise the French electorate that she is now standing with Israel and speaking just as if she was Macron, who visited Israel in these last hours to say he's standing with Israel? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John, it is kind of surprising, and especially because it isn't just happening in France. I mean, people have heard the stories for years about the rise of these parties in the far right fringes of Europe. You know, the concern was always they sort of were anti-Semitic. And, you know, in fact, it was not just a concern. It was often a reality. Marine Le Pen's father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, was infamous for Holocaust denial. In Germany, over the past 10 years, you've had the rise of a far right political party, the Alternative for Germany. The German acronym is AfD. They have been embroiled in various anti-Semitism scandals, again, connected with controversies over their opinions about Germany's historical memory of the Holocaust. And yet, over the past 2 weeks or so, some of these parties on the far right have emerged as strong defenders of Israel in the war against Hamas. Marine Le Pen showed up at a pro-Israel solidarity rally in Paris. The AfD voted with the other major German parties on a resolution in parliament in favor of Israel and condemning the Hamas attack. And this is kind of a surprising development given the history of some of these parties. And I will note that it isn't necessarily entirely sincere on their part, but it is notable that they seem to be determining that there is some political advantage to them at this moment of adopting those positions.
You mentioned Alternative for Deutschland, which is a rising power. I believe they did very well in Bavaria and Hesse state votes recently. The puzzle is Alternative for Deutschland, until this moment, was against everything, as far as I could tell. It was against the EU, it was against NATO, it was against Germany, it was against Olaf Scholz, it was against Berlin. It certainly was against immigrants and against everything, including Israel, the United States, all of that. So it's reversal. Yes, it's opportunistic. Is it working? Are people accepting that it's reversed its course in this? Or are they still regarding it as a nihilist party?
Well, I think it's too soon to say, but it's worth remembering that they have a couple likely motives for this kind of shift that go beyond bolstering their own credibility. Although it is telling, even in Europe today, which has many problems with anti-Semitism and you know, attitudes toward Israel that bleed into anti-Semitism, you know, people have always viewed anti-Semitism as somehow disreputable. That's always been an effective political charge to level against these parties of the right. So there is the sense in which I think the parties are figuring out that those allegations offend the sense of decency of a lot of European voters. But beyond that, I think that the profit for them, even if voters don't necessarily believe that these right-wing parties have undergone a change of heart. They can profit if they can use this appearance that they've changed their views to embarrass the left, which I think is a lot of what's going on here. Because what they're trying to say is, well, we on the right are very supportive of Israel. You guys on the left are indulging all of these anti-Semitic, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests on the street of Europe. The left-leaning universities are a total mess on all of these issues. And this also ties into the immigration debates that these parties of the right, you know, care very passionately about, because there's this question of whether Europe has properly assimilated, especially immigrants from Muslim backgrounds, who have been a source of a lot of controversy in Europe. You know, the parties of the right who embrace Israel can then raise this question about, well, have all of these Muslim immigrants who are often showing up at these pro-Palestinian protests, are they sharing European values on these issues?
And then we come home to London. Keir Starmer's the head of the Labour Party. He's doing very well in by-elections. He has great prospects to be successful at the next general election. We know all this. The Tories are disorganized and disheartened, except Jeremy Corbyn. Has Labour solved Jeremy Corbyn? Because you report quite correctly, he was the reason Labour is in such a reduced state.
Well, we thought that Labour had solved its Corbyn problem until about 2 weeks ago, and now you can start to wonder again, because what's happening in Britain is an example of how, you know, even while on the continent you have this strange new unity of parties of the right in support of Israel, you have even mainstream parties of the left, like Britain's Labour Party, kind of facing internal divisions over this issue. I mean, Keir Starmer had purged a lot of the anti-Semitic element from the party leadership after he replaced Jeremy Corbyn. But within the past couple of weeks, they've had problems with Labour Party members who are in local governments in some parts of the country who have resigned from the party in protest over Keir Starmer's pro-Israel stances. And I think that suggests that some of these problems aren't quite as worked out within Labour as people had thought. And that raises the prospect that this could become a vulnerability for the party ahead of the next election, because it certainly was a vulnerability for them before the last election in 2019.
There's another giant policy controversy in all of Europe, which is immigration. What is to be done? And Britain has a severe version, deport. France has a severe version, which is don't let in or let pass through quickly. Italy's in a quandary. Germany is apoplectic over the migration issue. That collides with these huge demonstrations in London, Paris, and Berlin, though I believe most of those young people out there were born. These are citizens of Germany, citizens of France, citizens of Britain. Are these parties meeting that challenge of being against migration, the left parties, against migration and yet for the Hamas in some fashion? Those things don't go together in my mind, Joe.
Well, I think that the shock in some places, this has particularly been an issue in Germany, which has been welcoming migrants from Middle Eastern countries or Turkey for several decades and saw a huge inflow again starting in 2015. The shock for them has been seeing members of a lot of these Muslim immigrant communities protesting in the streets in ways that do border on anti-Semitic. And you're starting to see a lot of debate in the German press, even in the left-leaning media, about whether society has fully assimilated a lot of these migrants into German values on these issues, because I think that the German public and certainly the German government have been very strongly supportive of Israel and are keenly aware, because of the country's own history, of the dangers of anti-Semitism. So I think that there is a concern about this assimilation issue that the left is not grappling with yet.
In the UK, deporting migrants are chiefly Muslim migrants because they're coming from that part of the world. They're coming from North Africa and the Middle East. Do they talk about this contradiction, this quandary of being for deporting people, but at the same time being, well, I don't know, I get lost, Joe. Where is the politics of Britain right now? Is it pro-Muslim because they vote? Is it anti-Muslim because they're anti-Semitic? Is it just confused?
I think a lot of it depends on which political party you're talking about, because certainly the governing Tories have been very supportive of cracking down on immigration, especially illegal immigration, although they haven't always been very effective at it. I think Labour has been much more ambivalent, but I think that what's going to potentially come to the fore now is going to be not just this issue of the number of immigrants, which historically was the focus, but the more important question of assimilating people, which I actually think needs to be the bigger focus, because the problem is not the number of migrants. Britain and probably Europe would benefit from more open immigration than they have right now. But I think you do need to make sure that you're creating a way that, that people can assimilate into the society that is already there. And I think that is where a lot of European countries have struggled, more so perhaps than the U.S. historically struggled with that.
You point me to the big elections for the European Parliament, the European Council next year. What will that tell us, Joe?
Well, I think that those elections often become an outlet for popular frustration on issues like immigration. And I think that's something that's lending some of these debates about the pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian protests a sense of greater urgency, and also some of these debates about immigration policy. This awareness that for countries that are in the European Union, they are going to be holding these parliamentary elections, you know, in half a year from now. And that will be an opportunity for voters to, you know, vent their spleen if they are unhappy about the policy directions on a lot of these issues.
Joseph Sternberg, he's a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. We're going to turn to life in London. Some twists in the trail here as we come out of the pandemic, as we seek to recover. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor.